Rico's cross is not bad. Towards the back post. Ball into the back of the net by Riquelme. What a strike to the right foot of the Spaniard. What an impact on his home debut. And Bournemouth, almost the same time they scored as they did on Wednesday, smashed him for the equaliser.
Hello and welcome to episode 102 of Back of the Net, the AFC Bournemouth podcast. My name's Sam Davis. Hope you're doing okay this Monday. Well, you're possibly not. One, because of the football. Two, because of the weather raining again. And three, we're going into another lockdown. Yeah, it's all starting later this week and it's a month of hell for many. For others, maybe things might not change. However, it's going to be a time where we have got the football to look forward to, albeit, of course, on TV. That's been the same for quite a while. But if you want to talk cherries, well, we're trying to open up the podcast platform. So I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel and get involved in the post-match free-for-alls, because we'd love to have your opinions and your thoughts as we try to recreate the pub experience. Grab a Bovril, grab a beer, and we'll turn up and chat cherries. We want to make it as inclusive as possible. And if you've got any ideas that you'd like to, for content you'd like to see on the channel, then let me know as well, because we're all up for putting anything we can on to help us get through another month of pain. And speaking of pain, Derby County visited AFC Bournemouth on Saturday. Well, after the Cherries dispatched of Bristol City in the week with a late Dan Juma winner, the Rams were the next to visit, with Boscombe fans hoping we could end a streak of seven games without a win against them. However, a lacklustre showing sadly meant that the expected 3 points would only turn out to be one, ending to our never-ending tally of draws. Well, that's what it seems like anyway. So, whilst AFC Bournemouth sit third in the table, myself and Jeff Hayward, we can't help but feel deflated after a performance that maybe left a lot to be desired. So we're going to go over that match against Derby County, of course. We're going to be previewing our trip to Wednesday on Tuesday. Work that one out. It's a 7 o'clock kickoff on Tuesday night at Hillsborough, and they sit bottom of the league. Really, we need a win, don't we? So we'll look forward to that. Plus, in a brand new series on our YouTube channel, North Stand season ticket holder Tom Jordan gives his player ratings from the last game. So we provide a taster of his thoughts after that 1-1 draw at the weekend. But first, I think we should do this. So 1-1 against Wayne Rooney's Derby County, and I wouldn't say it was a frightening performance or a spooky one, but it was Halloween. Yeah, and it's our first league match on Halloween since 2009, where we played Rochdale, and that one was a bit of a scary performance. Simple question: who was the manager of AFC Bournemouth and what was the score on our last Halloween match at Dean Court? Do you know? The answer is at the end of the show. So, Jeff Hayward is standing by, and by the looks of him, he's not a happy bunny. Let's bring him in. Jeff, 1-1 against Derby County. How was your weekend?
That made it very frustrating. I know we're unbeaten after nine games and we're the only team in the four divisions that's got an unbeaten record. However, you watch that game and it's hard to recognise that performance based on that second half performance we saw against Bristol City, where we played with speed, intensity, desire, which we needed to do because we were shocking in that first half too. Yesterday, they come out and unrecognisable. It was just awful.
And it wasn't like Derby were incredible. We were just getting the technical aspects wrong, just the basics of football. And I said on the free-for-all after the game that Cherries hadn't
won in our last seven matches against Derby County. And there wasn't a single point in that match, maybe just after Roro's equaliser, but, you know, that I thought that was going to change because we were poor throughout. The second half was better, we've got to say, and JT, to his credit, made substitutions that had an effect once again. However, the first 45 minutes, I've not quite seen anything like that for a long time.
Football is a simple game, made much more difficult if you cannot pass the ball to your teammate. And we're not talking difficult passes. There were so many simple passes that were either overhit, misplaced, just poor. And we're better players than that. We know that. And yet, it's something we've talked about before. There's this kind of inconsistency with this squad that they find it very difficult to keep going with a level of performance that they set in the previous game or previous 45 minutes even. And so it's not just one player as an off day. I mean, how many players really stood up yesterday and performed? How many of those players can honestly say, you know what, I was good for that game? Steve Cook? Begovic?
That's about it, isn't it? You look at it and analyse the individual performances, and it left a lot to be desired. And I thought it was a really poor performance with a lack of care and attention on the ball, as you said, overplaying, heavy passing, the simple things not being done correctly, the countless amounts of passes out from the defence that were just not, you know, either not finding a ball with player, or if they were, it just bounced off us, and Derby were managing to get the possession back. And yet they dominated the early stages of the game, Derby County, didn't they? And, you know, arguably had some of the best chances.
When we play too slow, and particularly when we play too slow from the back, we invite the opposition to press us. We make it easy because we don't have enough movement going on in the midfield. So if the ball, you watched yesterday and you see the ball go out to the flanks, to Rico or to Meppham, their only out ball was to Smith or to Stacey, but there was nothing that Smith or Stacey could do. They're sort of trapped on the flanks, and there's no inside options for them on the midfield because there is no movement. There's no sort of team connection going on there. And if we are going to play out from the back, we need to play with much greater speed and movement and ambition. You know what football's like. You know, if you make it easy for the opposition, if you're static, and we were way too static. And when we had the ball in midfield, it felt that there was no movement up front. You know, the disconnect between where we were playing from, so deep in our half, to trying to hit glory balls to Solanke or to Danjuma. I mean, we made it so easy for them.
Yeah. We did. It was 3-4-3 that we lined up with, and Kelly was out for Rico, who stepped in as the left side of that centre back three. Danjuma in for Josh King, who was on the bench. Billing in for Gosling, who was on the bench. So we had a midfield duo of Lewis Cook and Philip Billing. And you and I, we've been on podcasts last season in Project Restart, even before that, because we sort of wonder what their respective roles are. I think Lewis Cook's role is a slightly more defined now, but when you have a player alongside you that seemingly is not putting in a shift, it's very difficult for Lewis Cook. We've always said that Philip Billing, he seems to perform better in a three. How many times are we going to have these conversations, Jeff, about that guy? Because, you know, we want him to do so well for us, but so many times we just see these performances that are lackluster at best.
He had a poor game yesterday, but he wasn't alone. You know, there were a number of players who also had a really bad off day. I think he stood out more because so often the ball was going through him. And even in the first few minutes, you know, he gets robbed in midfield and they have a chance. And I'm just not sure that I understand rotation. You know, we've got a lot of games. We've got another game coming up on Tuesday night. So the recovery period is not great. We're missing probably our biggest midfield player, Jeff Lerma, and that presents a problem when you are trying to rotate from the Wednesday night to the Saturday. Lewis Cook and Stanislas were both playing or both starting in that Bristol City game. But to bring Billing in for Gosling is not a like for like swap, unless you're expecting Billing to transform himself into some sort of human dynamo. He's not that type of player, and I think he's better when playing in the opposition half. You know, he can play a good through ball. He's got a bit of vision. He's got a good shot, but not picking up the ball, you know, 10 yards outside our box. He looks slow. He looks ponderous. And if he's not got any options, you know, he's easy to rob because he's all left foot and predictable. And I don't want to single him out because, like I say, there were lots of players yesterday who were average at best. You know, you could pick everybody on that outfield side apart from Steve Cook, I think, and they all had terrible moments. It was just that Billings were the ones that cost us. And actually, do you know what? I think it's that sort of three as well. I wasn't that impressed with Stanislas on Wednesday night, and I'm not sure he can play that sort of, I don't know what role you'd call it, the sort of advanced midfield role. Because twice now he's done that in two consecutive games, and he was poor yesterday. He kept giving the ball away, didn't seem to have any vision. You know, thank the Lord that Brooks is back, because I think he might solve that particular problem.
Yeah, I think so. So let's go over our season so far. We've got 4 wins and 5 draws. So that puts us on 17 points. We're third in the league. A lot of people are saying, well, that's not bad. We're unbeaten. It's good for the psyche, the fact that we haven't been beaten. But you look at the matches that we should have won against the quality of opposition that we played. Derby County, they're in the relegation zone. We're playing Sheffield Wednesday on Tuesday. That worries me. Some of the teams we've played have not been exactly in advanced positions in the league. But then you counter that and say, OK, well, we've played Watford, we've played Norwich and stuff. People keep on reeling out the same line that, well, you know, it's early days. We're only going to get better. Well, that point is nullified by the fact that all teams are going to get better. So how can you make that as a point? All you can do is just play the matches that you've got now. Maybe you could say that players like Josh King and, you know, David Brooks are perhaps not fit. But even unfit players should be able to do the basics. You know, that does not... That is not related to your cardiovascular fitness. And I really struggle sometimes to even dissect and analyse matches. I find wins fairly easy to go over, but sometimes when we put in abject performances, I struggle to see what the issues were. But that's the first thing. And that was obvious to anyone. And Derby County, in the first quarter of an hour, dominated us. There was a shot from Waghorn, left footed over the bar. They started really brightly. Matthew Clark rose highest from a Wayne Rooney cross. And then on 11 minutes, then we gift the ball away. And Derby, you know, they were running forward with the directness that Bournemouth once did. I remember that goal that we scored Fulham away in the 3-0. And I think David Brooks scored one and then Callum. And, you know, at times it was a joy to watch because you'd see 3 or 4 darting forward. And that's what Derby had. And then Philip Billing comes along and concedes a free kick in a needless area. And, you know, it's not like they haven't got anyone on their side that can score free kicks from 25 yards or whatever. As it happened, the free kick wasn't taken by him. It went into the wall. And then it was not cleared by a mixture of Solanke and Smith. And then Shinny came along with a deflection. So it's quite apt that his surname's Shinny, really. But off Steve Cook and into the back of the net. And it's another situation where we go behind. And we did it against Watford. We've done it before. But it's just a stupid situation to get ourselves in, isn't it?
Oh, the whole thing. I mean, you described it really well. I think it might have been Billing who got robbed in midfield. I can't quite remember. I think it was because he then gets frustrated and makes a needless challenge, gives away a free kick. And I think there are several things that I want to point out. One, how many times are we slow at starting in first halves this season? You know, it seems to me that the kick at the backside at halftime is happening with a regularity that shows the players either aren't taking it in, the coaching staff aren't getting the message over to the players before they come out on the pitch, or we're just not mentally prepared right. Because to play so poorly and start so poorly in that first half, it's happening again and again and again. You know, if we have this conversation after the game on Tuesday night, you know, I'm going to be mad as hell, because we're better than that and we can play better than that. And it's something that is fixable. It's an attitude issue rather than a skill issue. In my view, you know, we've got to get that sorted. Number two, the lack of intelligence from some of our players. Why does Billing make that challenge? You're right. He absolutely knows that Derby have got players who can kill us with free kicks. You know, they've got the ex-England captain who scores free kicks like that for fun. Why give him the chance? You know, think about what you're doing. No need to make the challenge. The guy's blocked in front. He's not going to be able to score from there. That was so avoidable, and it's so frustrating. And that lack of intelligence, I mean, we're seeing it time and time again in the kind of decision-making that players are actually taking on the pitch. They're not playing the right ball. They're not seeing stuff that we can see or that you expect them to see. Or they know that the opposition player has only got one option, which is to take a foul and dive, and we still foul. You know, we're doing that so many times in games, letting the opposition get under our skin. And yeah, yeah, yeah. I feel like I'm going there like I've been there before, you know?
Yeah. And I thought it might provoke a reaction, but it wasn't. It was Derby that arguably, you know, could have scored a set. I mean, on 25 minutes, Waghorn fired. It was a daisy cutter, and then in the end, into Begovic. But Derby, they were first at everything. You know, and I don't know, and I said this on the free-for-all as well, but there seemed to be a lack of communication throughout the side. There were so many times where midfielders were on the ball and I could see that there was a man on, and it's like no one's talking to him because they're really slow on the ball. And sometimes when, say, Rico had the ball and, you know, Josh King's trying to get in front of his marker and just, you know, trying to offer himself as a ball to feet, there would be just a leg that came in from the Derby defender, and he's not making himself big, he's not shielding the ball, and they're easily managing to recycle possession. And I think the problems actually started from the back with our terrible distribution, and then it then morphed itself into our midfielders being pretty poor. I think Lewis Cook, you know, did have a good game, to be fair, but then up front, it, you know, it just seemed to sort of emanate throughout the side. And for all our so-called attacking flair, for all our players that we think will tear up the championship, the lack of goals and the lack of opportunities, that's worrying, Jeff.
Yeah, it's beginning to be a concern. The game yesterday was very reminiscent of that QPR game where we barely created a single chance. I mean, we barely created a single chance in the entire game. You know, and thankfully we managed to play better in that second half. But I think it doesn't help if you can't pass the ball to each other. But I thought I'm concerned about that combination on the left-hand side of Rico and Smith. You're right. I don't think that works particularly well together. And I think we actually missed Lloyd Kelly playing with Smith yesterday, because that in the second half against Bristol City was dynamic and purposeful. And what you need is that left-hand side centre-back. You know, if the opposition's sitting deep, they've got to take it to the opposition. And Lloyd Kelly did that brilliantly in that second half, I thought, last Wednesday. But Rico's a slightly different player. I don't think they gel that well together. On the right-hand side, I thought Stacey had a terrible off day yesterday. You know, maybe there's a lot of tiredness kicking around. Maybe, you know, the players, some of those players, because he's played pretty much every game, you know, maybe he just needed a break, but he was not on his game. And I don't think that helps. And Mepham isn't naturally going to go forward and commit a midfield player to create space for the other midfield players. And what happens is what you get with Derby yesterday is their attackers sit right off our defenders, let them have the ball, and then they've got no options because they're not taking it directly forward. They can't pass to anybody because everybody's effectively double marked. You've got a striker in front and a midfielder behind our midfield players, and they can't get the ball. And when they're as slow as Billing is in possession, you know, it's easy to pick off. And just the whole thing was such a frustrating game to watch. And it's it's also, I think, on the management team to see those things and change them and change how we play, change the dynamic. And I think there was a time where Stanislas got a bit of a talking to during that first half. And actually, it seemed to work because he was then involved in our two only chances at the end of that first half, wasn't he?
Yeah, and Dom Solanke, I mean, he managed to put pressure on the keeper with a long ball forward and then beat the defender to feed Smith, who then side-footed it back to Solanke, who blazed it with his instep over the bar. But then he had another chance, a snapshot, great save from the keeper, Marshall, after some great build-up play, as you say, with Junior, who sort of cut the ball back from a tight angle. But, you know, he got in the right places, and credit to him, we were getting opportunity. And that's what Bournemouth fans want to see. We want to see creative, zippy football, fast-paced. We want to see the team creating chances, and given the riches that we've got in terms of the players on the pitch, then, you know, we should have been creating more. It's not necessarily the actual getting them on target and scoring them. Obviously, the more shots you have, the more likely you are to score anyway. But, you know, you've got to create the chances for that to happen. And people might look as though we're being really negative, but, you know, we're third in the league, we're unbeaten, blah, blah, blah. But I think we need a bit of a reality check as well, you know, given the amount of quality Premier League standard players that we have. And this reminds me of 12 months ago, where a lot of people were seeing our lofty league position and they said, you know what, you know, it's brilliant, it's great. And then we got unravelled really quickly, and it's got the same feel to it, despite the fact we're unbeaten and all that stuff. That, I feel, is almost a bit of a smokescreen, and people were almost reeling out this line. Yeah, well, you know, like, we're unbeaten, but come on. The team that we played yesterday were probably one of the poorest that we faced, and we weren't creating enough chances. The second half, though, it's got to say, was better.
Yeah.
Jason Tindall made some really good substitutions, and that's one thing that we've, you know, quite often with Eddie, there were some substitutions that we almost were really baffled. But credit to JT, he's making right decisions, and they seem to be having the impact. Of course, the goal scorer was brought on by him, and he's kind of making the calls that we as fans would do. And that's one thing I feel is quite good, you know, Billing coming off, etc. You know, Roro coming on in replacement of Junior Stanislas, etc. And the second half was better, wasn't it, Jeff?
It was better. I think there were a combination of things. I think Derby ran out of a bit of energy and just decided to try and win it 1-0 and defend deep, which actually helped us. I think that we could play further forward. You know, the defence got up the pitch more, which we needed to do. We needed to close the gap between the defence midfield and the strikers, which we did, which made it easier to pass the ball to each other, gave us more options. But it was still one of those games, you know, there was still occasional passes that you thought, why have you just hit that out? That was so easy to make. And we absolutely need to pick out individual players. Star, when he came off the bench on Wednesday night, Saturday afternoon, Arnie, what's happened, mate? Where's the smile gone from your play yesterday? You look like you didn't want to be there. You look miserable. You couldn't pass the ball to anybody. You kept making the wrong decisions. Suddenly, in the second half, he gets a few chances. But even then, it's not the smiling Arnie we know. You know, he seemed just grumpy yesterday, and I don't know why, what's going on, because we needed him to finish one of those. What did he have? Four, maybe five good efforts, good chances yesterday. And okay, keeper makes a brilliant save for that one that hits the post, but the other ones, you think, he's got to get better connections. He's got to do better than that to make it more difficult for the keeper. He's got to flipping score one of those, because that's how good he is, and that's what he would have done on Wednesday. So what changes? And I think that's what we find frustrating too.
Yeah, it's funny. There were a few players that I just got really agitated about, and Rico was one of them, albeit, you know, he my opinion of him changed all of a sudden when he put that cross in for Roro, which I'm sure we'll talk about. But his passes were terrible. His distribution was poor. Premier League pedigree players. You know, you don't expect players to be brilliant every week, but you do expect them to do the basics. And Derby, throughout the game, though, it was clear that we were going to have more territorial possession because they were camped back. And they were obviously happy to, you know, try to soak up possession and maybe hit us on the counter, which at times they looked as though they had a couple of chances. But when you've got players like Steve Cook at the back and, you know, Chris Meppham, I thought, you know, it did all right yesterday. It wasn't perfect, but he did okay. Steve Cook, again, man of the match worthy performance. But we couldn't turn that possession into goals. And you say we were unlucky with a few chances, but we were still, every so often, we were overplaying the passes. You know, countless times I remember seeing through balls from either Dom or Josh to their striking partner. And the ball was, you know, it was played so heavily that there was no chance. And, you know, I don't know what the conditions were like yesterday. I thought it was all right. I think, you know, I think it turned out to be like quite a nice day yesterday, but it wasn't just no excuse. I just found it so frustrating.
I totally agree with that. It was baffling, and for a team to put in a performance like that after such a great shift only 2.5 days earlier, albeit we only played 1.5 against Bristol City, but you would expect the same ish 11 to go into that game with loads of confidence and think and feel good about winning yesterday, and instead it was just. Three steps back to get a draw against a team that were worse than Bristol City, and what was potentially even more distressing than that was just the lack of creativity. I mean, we just seemed to be going through the motions, really. When we got the ball forward, where was the incisiveness to actually create the chances? I mean, the positives. Yeah. The positives were Brooks coming off the bench and looking relatively decent on the basis that he's not had much football at all. I thought he wanted the ball. He was playing in between the lines, making it, you know, giving them something to think about. And he looked like we've been missing him, and that was good.
It was, and you know, Jack Stacey came off, so he went into a flat back four. And look, I'm sort of, if there was a Peter Snow's swingometer of negativity and positivity, I think we would be majorly in the negativity camp, Jeff. But it's not because we're glass half empty or any of that. We're just frustrated because we know the ability that the team has. And arguably, we've only seen it in a few occasions this season. I mean, Coventry, I think the whole game was pretty decent, you know, barring the penalty that we conceded or whatever. But you just know that they've got, you know, the ability. And Derby weren't anything special. And I apologise, Derby fans, if you're listening to this or watching this and you're thinking that we are discrediting you. But the fact is, your performance, we've seen a lot better this season, and we've managed to beat those teams. So the frustration from us is the fact that we didn't manage to beat you. So, you know, some credit has to go to, you know, how you lined up and the fact that you were, you know, relatively well drilled. But this feels like it's a point or 2 points dropped, and that's just of our own downfall. But it did get better, and that was when Roro came on. So I think Josh King won a free kick on the edge of the box on about 80 minutes, and Brooksy took it. It went into the wall, but Bournemouth managed to recycle possession. I think Rico, I mean, there were a number of times where he crossed too long, in my opinion, and it went over the defenders. But this one, thankfully, found the on-running Roro, Rodrigo Riquelme, who, I mean, the volley with the right foot, I don't know if it was on the side foot, but it was so measured and such a good goal, wasn't it?
Oh, beautiful goal. And what skill that takes to do that. I mean, that ball came a long way. What was really pleasing from that attack, I mean, we kind of went a bit gung-ho. So the person it flew over was Steve Cook. You know, we were really putting bodies in the box there. Came all the way over. And I think that kind of it distracted the Derby defence, so there was nobody on Riquelme. But honestly, that finish, that is class to be able to do that. And the beautiful thing about that is that when you hit it like that first time, the keeper is not set. And number of times where we took shots at Marshall, he was set. And, you know, he's kind of expecting the shot, and it makes it easier for the keeper to make the save when they're set. But when you take it like that, boy, what a finish.
And that's a young lad that has got something to prove. And he, you know, when you are a younger player, you know, it doesn't matter what standard you're in, you take more risks. And I can just imagine that falling to someone like Dom Solanke. And I can imagine that he would have wanted to take a touch, by which time the defender would have closed him down. But Roro, to his credit, I mean, that the position that he was in, a number of things that could have happened. Yeah, he could have controlled it. He could have blazed it. It would have been so easy to get that wrong. But he just, you know, he didn't even break stride on the inside of his right foot. So composed. And like you say, you know, the goalkeeper was, you know, he was going to his left, then all of a sudden to dive low to his right. It was impossible. It was the perfect goal. And at that point, Jeff, you know, this was the kind of, you know, the 5% of the game where I thought, oh my God, we could actually win and, you know, beat Derby for once in however many games it is. But then Derby go on the attack, and then Steve Cook, no idea what happened. Hand, face, not sure. It looked like he was out of action for quite a while. I don't know how much of that was, you know, amateur dramatics and how much of that was, you know, was real or whatever. But he got his body on the line, and whichever part it hit, he prevented a certain goal.
Yeah, it was an incredible block. And actually, you know, there were a couple of things I think to just point out. When it went to 1-1, Derby looked good. You know, when they attacked us, they looked decent. And in fact, just before Riquelme scores, I think they had the guy, I can't remember, was it Knight, had a 20-yarder where Begovic made a really decent save down to his left. And you kind of thought, well, if Derby had gone for us a bit more, they might have had a bit more joy, because actually they were okay, I thought, going forwards. And I think sometimes looking at our squad, you're right, we are technically a really good, capable Premier League, you know, full of Premier League quality players. We ought to be dominating teams and winning games. Right, okay, that's sort of the way it is. But teams will then come and play with that really low block defensive shape that we are finding very difficult to break through. So you can see a lot more of these kind of 0-0, 1-0s going into the last sort of 15, 20 minutes coming up for us, I think. But actually, if there's a few teams out there, you know, maybe Swansea already might take a look at that and think, you know what, we can attack Bournemouth, because we looked a bit fragile, I thought, in that last sort of 5, 10 minutes. And yeah, what a block. I'd say face. But I've no idea what it is.
No one knows. Now, whilst I'm recording, you know, it's not just me and you that feel a bit negative whilst we're recording this. Had a message from Ashley, who was who's been on the podcast before, also on the Free For All, and he said he's utterly bemused by us at the moment. He did want to come on the Free For All on YouTube, but he thought it might not be good to go on a negative monologue with him combusting in the process. He said he's sure he whittled all the way through last season regarding our predictability and our inability to even deliver this, along with moving the ball too slowly. It's, you know, there are a number of things for JT to work on. And I just feel as though, like, I feel almost stupid, like, looking at the league table and moaning because we're third. We're 17 points. We're only like 5 points off top spot or whatever it is. But we had 69% possession yesterday. We had 10 shots, 5 of which were on target, 4 corners. We dominated. We're getting, I think it's just a mixture of things, because at the moment, two things are happening. One, we're not creating enough chances. Two, even when we do, we're not scoring them. case in point, Adom Solanke, for every five chances he gets, maybe he'll score one. We don't quite know. So it's a mixture of things at the moment, but I just feel as though the lack of energy in the middle of the park just reverberated around the side. And yeah, I, for one, would like to see someone else pairing up with Lewis Cook in midfield in our next match, because for me, Philip Billing, he just was a bit too pedestrian.
Yeah, I think it has to be Gosling, because if it's Phil Billing, I think you bring him on when we're 1-0 up with 10 minutes to go and you need to, you know, stop the opposition in midfield. I think at the moment, on yesterday's performance, he's not got the skill level to be paired with Lewis Cook to get us going forwards. All the energy, actually. You know, otherwise, sorry, Phil, wake up and play a bit quicker. It's what you got to do. I mean, I was screaming at you yesterday so many times. You must have heard it, because the number of times he takes about four or five touches and you can see what he's doing. You know, the defensive shape of the opposition is so much in position, ready for the obvious pass he's going to make. And it's just, anyway.
And it's not, you know what, it's not a Billing agenda, is it? It's not a Billing agenda, because, you know, there are players like Dom Solanke, who I thought actually played very well yesterday. And his hold-up play was good, created some chances for himself. And I thought, it was better from him. Josh King was equally poor. Junior Stanislas had a bad game. You know, we could go on. You know, Jack Stacey wasn't himself. Wouldn't say he had a bad game, but he just wasn't himself. And there were a few players that, you know, that absolutely fitted that bracket. And At some point, Jeff, there's going to be a game, surely to God, where this all comes together and then we absolutely annihilate a team 3-0, like in the opening 45 minutes or so.
Yeah, and I think maybe, so one piece of advice for Dom: keep the ball on the deck, Dom, when you're hitting it, because he's hit every time he seems to be shooting at the moment. It's at a great height for the keeper to make saves. Keep it on the deck. And make sure you hit the flipping target. That one where he blazed it over earlier in the end of the first half. I mean, that's crying out for a side foot. Get it on target, not laces from there. And I think it's just that sort of bit of thinking. Think about what you're doing a bit, you know. Make it tougher for the keeper. I think we have a question I would ask the coaching team is, rotation, is it working? Maybe just pick your best 11 for every game until, you know, you need to pull a player out for an injury, because I think we don't understand that 3-4-3 well enough where you can mess about with the lineup as we did yesterday. You know, I know we've got injuries, I know we've got people out, but try and keep it as similar as possible. So I'd have kept Gosling in yesterday rather than put Billing in that midfield. And Josh has got to get better. We've got to get Brooks back playing full matches. We've got to start winning those games. You look at those five draws. Yeah, we're unbeaten, but four of those draws were games we should have won and had 3 points from, not dropped two. One of those games, the Watford game, I'd say, yeah, you know, we came back and we scraped a draw and we earned a point there. All the others, we've let 3 points go.
Hi, this is the big un, Steve Fletcher, and you're listening to Back of the Net.
So there we go. Great to hear from Jeff. He's going to be coming back very, very shortly with the preview of Sheffield Wednesday. Now, North Stand season ticket holder Tom Jordan, he is more active than ever on our YouTube channel, so check out his Tej Talks series, including the player ratings from the previous game. So, after Derby, what did he think of the 11 men on the pitch for the Cherries? Here's a taster of what you can expect on the YouTube channel.
Difficult one, because once again, we're happy in the sense that we're still unbeaten. And there's no one else in the top four leagues of English football that can say that. That's got to be a positive, and it has been a successful start to the season. Having said that, we're better than Derby, and we didn't show it for large parts in the game. I thought the first half in particular was probably the worst half of the season, in my opinion. really were poor, and Derby were deservedly ahead at the break. We were sloppy. We didn't get going at all. Fortunately, we couldn't be any worse, and we weren't. Second half, I thought we were much better. It helps because they had the goal. They're sitting back. They're inviting us on. And all the substitutes that Jason made were bang on as well. Made some really good changes that impacted the game, obviously. So, yeah, another game without defeat. But unfortunately, not the 3 points we wanted, but we are closing that gap slightly. And, yeah, I think we haven't really hit top gear yet. And we still haven't lost a game. So I'm looking at it from a positive point of view, and that I think we're going to get better. We've got players like King, like Brooks, who we haven't seen, you know, properly back at it yet. Jeff to return again, who's obviously been out for a bit. Still got Cameron Carter-Vickers to introduce to the side as well. So, yeah, I think it's going to get better. So from that point of view, I'm quite excited. And once again, like I say, didn't lose the game. And the character show from the team, again, Watford, last-minute equaliser. Bristol City, late winner. And again, on Saturday against Derby, late leveller. So get into the player ratings, obviously, as always. Asmir Begovic in goal. And to be fair to him, I don't think he had an awful lot to do. Even though we were, like I say, we weren't at it in the first half. Fortunately for us, Derby didn't, they looked like a team that, you know, weren't playing with too much confidence, and they weren't punishing us for what was a really sloppy opening 45. So he didn't have a lot to do. The goal was unfortunate, scrappy from our point of view defensively, but it took a deflection. You can't blame Asmir for that. Distribution fine. So I'm really happy with Asmir so far this season. For the game, like I say, didn't really do much wrong, but didn't have loads of worldly saves to pull off and didn't really make any mistakes. So I'm just going to give Asmir a standard 7 out of 10, I think. I think that's the fairest way to do it, really, with Asmir. Into the back three. Start with Chris Meppham, as he has been a lot this season on that right side. And I like Meps a lot, but for me, that was one of his poorest games. I just didn't think he was at it. I remember the Cardiff game. He was at fault for their goal. But then the following game against Watford, he pops up with that late winner, and you're really pleased for him. And I just felt, I don't know, there was a point in the first half where he did go down. I'm sure it was in the first half. And he looked to be feeling something. I hope that's nothing too serious. But I just wonder if that maybe had an impact, because I just didn't, few late passes, I don't think he was quite on it for me. And I thought he looked very shaky, particularly in the first half. Not horrific, but not one of his best. So I'm just going to give Meps a 5 out of 10, which I think is fair. It just, because we know we can do better now. And I think that's key. Just looking for the colossal, the leader. You know, we're talking about leaders, aren't we, at the moment, in the sense that our leader for the country is Boris Johnson. But you don't have to worry about a leader when you come to Bournemouth. We got Steve Cook, and epitomises the captain. Captain's performance again, he was unbelievable against Bristol City. Unbelievable. He was a rock. He stopped everything. He headed everything. He was brilliant. And again, on Saturday, what a performance. And we all know what I'm going to refer to. That clearance on the line, I still am not sure which part of the body it hit. I was a bit worried for him, actually, because he looked like he was in a bit of bother afterwards. Didn't look like he moved for a while. But luckily, he got up and seemed okay. But that is a block on the line that's got us a point. You know, that's late on the way. We obviously scored late. It was actually just after that, and they're winning the game if Cookie doesn't do that. And it just doesn't surprise me when you see that book on the line. You know it's Cookie. What a centre-half. What a player for this football club, to be fair. And I just love him, and I think in the Championship, even more so, he's being looked at now. You know, we're talking about the likes of Frano, Sermon, Daniels have all kind of departed recently, and Cookie's one of the mainstays there. And it almost feels like he's loving that. He's loving that responsibility and to really try and get the club back up. And he hasn't really put a foot wrong this season, to be fair. So he's, for me, got to be up there for man of the match. I probably would say he's my man of the match again. It's a similar story to the Bristol City game in the sense that Cookie's probably our best player on the pitch, but a substitute's come and got the vital goal, which we'll talk about later. But 9 out of 10 for Steve Cook. Can't argue with that, in my opinion.
And remember, our YouTube channel address is www.youtube.com/ AFCB podcast, or just search Back of the Net Bournemouth or Bournemouth Fan Channel, something like that. You should be able to find us. But if you want to watch the full video of what you just heard, really interesting points that he makes about a number of players, yeah, just search Back of the Net Bournemouth on YouTube. And please also subscribe, because that helps a lot. So, on Tuesday, it's Wednesday.
This is Mark Pugh, the foodie footballer, and you're listening to Back of the Net.
So, Jeff, Sheffield Wednesday on Tuesday night, slightly earlier than planned, and we're playing a team that is sat at the bottom of the table and their form is not particularly great. Let me go through October's results. 1-1 draw with QPR at home. They beat Birmingham City away 1-0. They lost at home to Brentford 2-1. To Luton Town 1-0 at home. They then lost 3-0 at Rotherham. And on Saturday, they lost 1-0 at Wycombe Wanderers, who secured their first 3 points of the season. I'm fed up of saying this, but it's a match that we really should be winning, isn't it?
Well, on that form, you know, having lost their last four, absolutely. And we ought to be going into the game with a positive mindset and thinking that there's a team that we've got to get the 3 points from.
Yeah, and we want to see a performance with lots of energy. And you know what? Watford, I think there were many parts of the Watford performance when we got that point that weren't particularly great, but we saw moments of good. The first 3 minutes, I thought, was pretty good. And the last 3 minutes, or whatever it was pretty good. But there were little flashes. But we want to see the best parts of our good performances. Like, I mean, in Coventry, you know, that was probably the most complete performance that we've had so far this season. And we need to see elements of that. And to do that, we need the correct personnel. So, midfield-wise, obviously, we're going to probably be without Jefferson Lerma. Do you think this 3-4-3 formation is what we need to be going for?
I think they're going to go with it anyway. I mean, let's look at the Coventry game, and it worked well there. You know, we did play with a lot of speed and intensity and accuracy in that game. So I don't think we should blame the system. I think the system is one that suits the players better, but we've still got to do the basics right. And I fully expect there to be some changes from Saturday's game.
And I think the 3-4-3 formation lends itself to the fact that we haven't exactly got plentiful in terms of riches of centre midfielders at the moment, with Lerma being out and Billing with one of the poorest games we've seen in a Bournemouth shirt. So therefore, it might lend itself to that. When you've got players like Brooks, who came on late in the match against Derby County to good effect, when you've got Roro scoring, when you've got Josh King coming back into fitness, when you've got Dom Solanke with some good hold-up play, you've got to think that we might as well stick to our strengths and play with the three attackers that worked so well in the Betway Cup against West Ham. And this could be the one, Jeff. This could be the one where we absolutely smash a team.
You said that before the last game, though.
Yeah, I did. But probably more likely with this one, because, I mean, look, Sheffield Wednesday, when you're playing Derby County, they would have been happy for a draw, and I think they would have taken a draw at kickoff. You know, maybe not so much half-time, they'd have wanted the win, but afterwards, they were probably relatively happy with a draw. Sheffield Wednesday, I don't think they can afford to be content with drawing games, you know, given the league position they're in. Rooted to the bottom of the table, minus 4 points. They've got a long way to go, and they need to, you know, they need to start winning games. And the fact that they've got four losses in a row in the league is probably going to put pressure on the manager. Fans are going to be a bit uptight, and they're going to need to put in a decent shift, which that's what we want. We want to play teams that will have a go at us. I was really surprised when we played Coventry that they tried to have a go and they didn't sit back and soak up possession like I thought they would. And we always struggle against teams like that. Happened in the Premier League last season. It's happened a number of times this season. So if a team has a go, the quality of players that we have can really exploit it. And it could, okay, I've said it, it could be a goal fest.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I could agree with that. I mean,
I could agree with that. I love it.
we are so inconsistent at the moment that you're just not sure. I mean, we're inconsistent, not from game to game, but from half to half. So here's a sort of area that, or a way that it could pan out. They score first, then they put 10 men behind the ball, and we have one of our off nights, and we could end up losing that game 1-0. You know, it could be like that, because you're just not confident before the game which Bournemouth is going to turn up. And are we going to turn up for a 90, or are we going to just turn up for a 45?
Well, I'm glad I chatted to you today, Jeff, because I'm feeling absolutely... tell you what, though, I'm sure your prediction won't be overly negative. I don't know. I mean, go on. What do you think?
Well, like I say, I think there will be changes. So I'm not sure. What's the situation with Lloyd Kelly? Any chance he'll be back? What do you reckon?
Not too sure about that. I think we're kind of waiting for what Jason Tindall comes out with in his press conference, whenever that will be, maybe Monday afternoon.
Let's say it's Rico and Smith again on that left-hand side. I think it'll be Meppam and Stacey. I think the key area to get right that we got so badly wrong against Derby is that midfield three. Mm. And Lewis Cook has to play that anchor role, because there is no other option unless you play Billing there. And I just don't think he's in the right sort of mindset at the moment. I think you've got to play Gosling in there, and I think you've got to play Brooks in that Stanislas role.
Just shows how much we miss Jeff Lerma, doesn't it, Jeff?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it gives us options to play a defensive midfield position, or we can play that more advanced attacking role as well. And we need him back. I'm hoping that he might not go to Colombia for that international break and might just stick around and recuperate, so that he's firing for the first game after the break, which, as you and I both know, is going to be a big game.
Yeah, very, very much so. So, yeah, prediction wise, I'm going for a 3-1. I'm going for a 3-1, a repeat of Coventry. We've got goals in us, and we should have chances. We should be able to create them. I'm fancying Dom Solanke with a brace. Maybe more in hope than expectation, but that's what I'm going for.
I'm going for a 3-0 to us, not to them, to us, because I think it's going to be a bad game we had against Derby, so we'll have a good game against Sheffield Wednesday, and then we'll all be upbeat for the Birmingham game, won't we?
Yeah, very true. And, you know, hopefully 8 goals in that one. Jeff, thank you very much for today.
Thanks, Sam. Thanks for having me on.
So there we go. That's another episode of Back of the Net, all done. It's, you know, when games come thick and fast, it's, you know, we're obviously going to miss out matches. So we didn't really even touch Bristol City on this audio podcast. But if you do feel as though you're missing out chronologically on the matches that we're playing, then I do encourage you to, as I say, go to our YouTube channel earlier. That's youtube.com/AFCB podcast, where you can catch up on all our reviews and fan opinion after that 1-0 win against the Robins. But against the Rams, it was 1-1. What so the Owls? Hopefully, we'll be talking about something positive next week on the audio podcast. Right, Halloween, 1-1 against Derby County. The last time we played on Halloween, it was 2009, and it was against Rochdale. And Bournemouth suffered a 4-0 home defeat. It was absolutely dreadful. Goals from Dagnall, 2 from O'Grady, and 1 from Whaley as well. The likes of Shuan Jalal, Ryan Garry, Jason Pearce, Warren Cummings, Anton Robinson, Feeney, Hollands, Pittman, Connell, Bradbury and Fletcher. That's a strong side. How the hell did we lose 4-0? But I remember that night, went to the Bic to watch Block Party, who were on stage, and I always remember Cherries fan Matt Tong, drummer, who's currently with the band Algiers, brilliant by the way, I remember him coming on in his Bournemouth shirt, going up to the mic and said, F Rochdale. Beautiful. That was in front of 6,378 fans at Dean Court and a fair few thousand at the Bic as well with Block Party. Brilliant night. Good music. Shame about what happened during the day. Hey, yeah, 4-0. I won't forget that. I remember a Gillingham one as well where they tonked us 4-0 a long, long time ago at the old Dean Court as well. Not particularly great. Right. Thank you for listening to Back in the Net. Remember, if you want to support us, you can do so by buying us a coffee. We've made a few investments over the last few weeks and we're continuing to up our quality. I think it's important that we do so because especially over the next month we want to make sure the Cherry conversation keeps flowing. So if we've got the best equipment to actually produce the shows with, then hopefully it'll make it at least sound good as well. But you can go to afcbpodcast.com/coffee. That's afcbpodcast.com/coffee. Right, let's start my Monday. I better go, but thanks for listening to Back of the Net, the AFC Bournemouth podcast.
Rico's cross is not bad. Towards the back post, falling into the back of the net by Riquelme. What a strike for the right foot of the Spaniard. What an impact on his home debut. And Bournemouth, almost the same time they scored as they did on Wednesday, smashed him for the equaliser.